You guys doing all right? You good? Positive about that? Can I just be honest with you guys this morning? We're not all doing okay, you know? People ask, how are you doing? And your automatic response is, I'm great, or I'm good, or whatever. But if we really, a lot of us are going through some hard times, whether it's at home, just struggling with school, friendships, whatever it is. They're just, people are going through some hard stuff. And so it's important for us to kind of break away and spend some time in the Spirit of God and just let Him be who He is in our life. I want this morning to just be a time of that. Feel free to open your hands out to the side, up in the air, down low, whatever. Whatever's comfortable to you. But that openness of a hand, that is a response to God saying, God, I'm open to you. God, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. So do that for us this morning, okay? Close your eyes, whatever. We're going to lead the song. Just let it be a sweet time with the Lord, okay?
What do you say you'll do? And you'll be who you've always been to us, Jesus. And our hope is in you alone, and our strength is in your mighty name. Our peace is in the darkest day remain, Jesus. This we know, we will see the enemy run. This we know, we will see a victory come. We hold on. Trust you.
thank you for the work that you are doing in our life, God, whether we see it or not. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to guide us through this life. God, let us just press into that and press into your Spirit this morning. Thank you for your Spirit this morning, God.
Spirit of the living God, we only wanna hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we wanna know you more and more. We're hanging on every
a month, and that's me up here. This is kind of my preaching stance. Is that better? At least I know you can hear me. I know I'm in an all-sports school, right? Because I saw Pedro up there at first, and he's standing over here, and he's getting the piano ready, and he's looking back there, and he's going. And I looked over, and Dane was ready to steal second base, and five other guys were getting prepared to do something. I don't know what was going on. Come on, that was not quite as funny as I thought it was going to be. My wife tells me I'm not as funny as I think I am, so. I have a great respect for the fact that God knows what's going on, and that's the way I live my life. I'm going to speak to you today about being positive, and God has big plans that we don't know about. He's even got little plans that we don't even know about. Let me tell you one. My dad divorced my mom for the second time when I was 11. That was joyous. And she went through a period of depression, and she really got into a mood of listening to Christian music over and over and over. One artist in particular, we just heard every day, all day long, and was a great inspiration to my mom, helped my mom come out of depression. And now here we are, quite a few years later, and I have a stack of mail for that gal. Twyla Paris was her name. And I have her mailbox now. And so her mail is coming to my post office box. Now that I got to turn it over to somebody. I steamed them all open and read them. They're pretty good. Not really. But isn't that neat how the Lord, he knew that back then. He knew that someday I'd be standing here at Ecclesia College talking to you guys, and that I'd be getting those letters in my mailbox. It's just another confirmation to me that the Lord is in control. And that helps me to be positive. I'm going to give you a couple quotes that I like about being positive. Keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see a shadow. I find it ironic that quote is by Helen Keller, who was blind. That got more laughs than my baseball joke. Y'all are... Yesterday is not ours to recover, but tomorrow is ours to win or lose. Thank you, Cash. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Amen. Failures are stairs we climb to reach success. Don't know who did that one. It'll never be perfect. Make it work. That's life. Now, last week, the school asked me to prepare, 5, 6, 7 minutes of just talking about being positive. So I was prepared for it. Yesterday, I was told the other two speakers weren't going to show up. Could I cover the whole thing? Now, those of you that know me know that I could wake up in the middle of the night with a nosebleed and a leg cramp in the middle of a Russian gulag and take 25 minutes to talk about being positive. It's not a hard thing for me to do. But I don't want to just talk about being positive. I want to give you something that you can cling to. This here is my subject. This is my mantra. Being positive is my nature. It defines my life. It's going to be okay is a truth that I've discovered in my life, and I hope I can help you discover it too. A positive attitude is what I exist on in the cafeteria. Webster's Dictionary says that the definition of positive is consisting in or characterized by the presence or possession of features or qualities rather than their absence. I define it a little easier just by this. No matter what happens, I'm going to be in a good mood. I'm going to find a way to have fun. Now, there's a lot of you out here that are A-type personalities. Everybody say praise God. Yeah, that's how I feel about A-type personalities too. No, A-type personalities are great. They're organized. They have goals. They have, you know, they're driven. They're going to get things done. I am not one of those. How many of y'all know Chuck Sackman? He was here right before me, okay? He is a triple A-type personality, okay? I'm a B-type personality. I'm what they call an otter. If I can't have fun doing it, I'm not going to do it. I'm a party waiting to happen. I do not like goals. I don't like any of that stuff. When Chuck and I met each other, we hated each other. But through the course of a long series of events, he and I have become best friends, and we've been really good for each other. I picked up a lot of his good habits, and he picked up a lot of my bad habits. Amen. A positive attitude may not solve all of your problems, but it will annoy enough people to make it worthwhile. Amen. I often find myself surrounded by negative people, and it just wears me out. Now, I grew up in a house with no dad, three sisters. I want you to pay attention to this now. No dad, three sisters, grandma, mom, my aunt, and a female dog named Sandy. Once a month, my life was a drama hell. Yeah. If I came in and my sister had just broken a pencil and then had broke down in tears, I knew it was time. It was time to cut the grass three times with a pair of scissors. It was time for me to get out of the house. Amen. And so I don't like drama. I do not care for it. And I know that drama usually comes on the heels of feelings, not facts, especially when it comes to us serving the Lord. Want to hear a good poem my grandson told me about being positive? Birdie, birdie in the sky, why'd you poopy in my eye? I won't worry, I won't cry, I'm just glad that cows can't fly. That's taking a bad situation and being positive, amen? Recently had Josh. Are you awake, brother? All right. Cheer up, man. He's always got a smile on his face. I'm talking about being positive. Look out. He's like, he's cold. That's the problem. It is cold. I recently had a really good opportunity to display a positive attitude in the cafeteria. Okay? I think I've figured out a way to make a lot of money for myself. I want to share it with you guys. Okay? I came in, and we have discovered the best new mouse trap in the world. Some of you will get it. Now, I came in, and over Thanksgiving break, somebody had gone into the cafeteria and opened that, left it open, and I came in, and there were two little mice that had given their life in that Nutella. They were just laying there. Now, I could have been real negative and went, oh my God, and some did. There were some people here that were like, oh, how could this have happened? Mice in the Nutella. My first thought was, oh, cool, we killed two mice. That's what could be a negative situation becoming a positive situation. Now, it also did a lot of other positive things for me because I didn't know how that was going to go over. Health department showed up. So me and my positive attitude, I walk out, I introduce myself to the guy, and I say, hey, good to meet you. Can I get you some coffee, something to drink, Nutella sandwich? I giggled. He laughed really hard, pulled out his little picture that had circulated and went, this? And I said, no, we already cooked that. We got new Nutella. We had a good time, but I was able to find out through that aggravation of mine and through that hard time that this happens. Cafeterias all over the United States, McDonald's, doesn't matter where you go, Walmart, you're going to find nasty things where there's food. It's going to happen. And so he set my mind at ease, gave us a really good report, and I had a good chance to have some conversations with people that also started off negative but became positive. On that note, just a side note for all you here, okay? Just so you know, when dealing with me, at 17, I carried an M16. I was much skinnier than I am now, of course. Carried a 60-pound pack with a med kit because I was our platoon medic. I could hit anything at 300 yards with my M16 and a shot group about that big. I qualified expert at the grenade course, and I could set up a field perimeter with Claymore mines and foxholes that could allow 50 men to defend against 400 for days. I could march 20 miles while singing songs about how we were going to whip the Russians, and sorry if there are any Russians in here, but back then that's what we wanted to do. I'm sure you're pleasant people. So when you have a situation here at school and you don't handle it yourself and I get phone calls, you will find that you are up against a brick wall. You are adults. If you have a problem, come and see me. Okay? Just a little side note, a little freebie for the rest of your life. I'm a good one-on-one guy, but I don't do well unless you come and see me face to face. You say, Pastor Hoover, what's that got to do with anything about being positive? Well, it's a positive attitude that wins the day. It's what brings a central focus to your life, being positive. It's what makes you know that you can handle anything, whatever's going on in your life. For the Christian, it flows from knowing that God lives in you. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? This is a rhetorical question by the author, and the answer is nobody. If you know you're in the center of God's will, your grades can't be against you, the money can't be against you, all the things that you think might be against you, they're not against you. If you're where you're supposed to be and you're doing what God wants you to do, you're immortal. It's a good feeling. Knowing that you're in the dark now, but a light is coming. And the answer will be peace. I counsel with many, many married people, and one thing that they all have in common is a loss of focus on the goal. I have seen so many marriages restored just by simply setting a couple down and going, okay, you're in a problem now. You're in this tunnel. It's dark in this tunnel. But if we can find a light at the end of the tunnel and we can start going towards that, we can make it. 9 times out of 10, that's what the problem is. There may be rough patches. There may be some problems. But if they can find that light at the end of the tunnel and they can both start working toward it and there's progress being made, they can make it. And many have. And surprise, 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 that very principle is found scattered literally throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God. People who were not brought down by their immediate circumstances, but by the ultimate outcome based on God's promise. I mean, you think about some of these stories that we read in the Bible. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall in some of these conversations that God had with people. I mean, look at Abraham and Isaac. All this time, God's been promising Abraham, from you, your seed, I'm going to bring somebody. And he says, look at the stars. That's how big your family is going to end up. And then he comes to him and says, okay, now go. I gave you that son. Yeah, I did that. Now go kill him. I mean, can you imagine that conversation and the thoughts that went on through Abraham's head? But if you read the Bible, you'll see that Abraham tells the guys that are with him, you stay here. I'm going to make a sacrifice, and me and the child will return. That tells us something. See, Abraham trusted God. He was looking forward to whatever God was going to do. He was believing God for God's promise. He didn't say, well, y'all stay here. I'm going to do something really horrible, man. I don't even know what I'm going to do about this. This is just terrible. I hope something happens. No, he was confident. Me and the child will return to you. How about Joseph and that slavery thing? I got to tell you, I think I'd have given up on the Lord a little bit sooner than Joseph did. What a life that guy led. I mean, it was just bad, 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 bad. And he just kept on going, oh, well, you know, God's got it. God found himself in prison. What does he do? Doesn't hang his head. He goes, you know what? I'm going to be positive about this. I'm just going to be the best prisoner I can be. I'm a pretty positive guy, I got to tell you. But it would be hard to bend myself in that direction if I had ended up in prison. My brothers had sold me into slavery, and I was in prison for something I didn't do. And look where he ended up, ruling Egypt. The walls of Jericho would have loved, you know, I was in the military when I was younger. I'd have loved to have been in on that conversation. All right, Joseph, Moses has been doing a pretty good job. You're in charge now. What are we going to do? How are we going to take these walls? You get some swords and get our armor on, and we're going to go, and we're going to do battle. And Joseph says, well, I got a word from God. What we're going to do is we're going to get some instruments. We're going to walk around this city a bunch of times, and we're going to play these instruments. Now, you got to know that these other generals and stuff were going, doesn't sound like a very good plan. I mean, how many of us would have been like, yeah, that's how you win a city? But Joseph had confidence, didn't he, in God. He knew it wasn't in the instruments, right? It was in God. How about the Red Sea? There's a winner. Imagine that instruction. Hey, Egyptians are coming up behind us. They're going to kill us all. What are we going to do? You're going to walk across the water. You mean we're going to, like, walk across the water? No, it's going to part. It's going to dry out, and we're going to walk through, and then God's going to take care of us. I just can't imagine. I mean, we have a hard time when we sit down and plan things out for months and months and months convincing a church this is what God wants us to do. I imagine it's happened at this school. There have been plans. Hey, we're going to build this building, or we're going to have this program, or we're going to do this thing. And we sit down and we plan and we do figures and we calculate. And then somebody comes and says, I believe this is what the Lord wants us to do. And we meet up with adversity. I can tell you this one thing. If you're a positive person, you will continuously meet up with adversity. And you just got to trust what God told you is real. How about Paul and Silas in prison? That would have been fun, huh? And there they were singing Jesus on the cross. It says in Hebrews 12:2, knowing the joy set before him, he endured the cross. See, that's what we've got as Christians. We know the joy that is set before us. No matter what happens, this life is going to end in a pretty short manner. I mean, really, you know, 70 years, 80 if, you know, you're lucky or unlucky, depending on your health. And then eternity? See, that's what we look forward to as Christians. If nothing else. In fact, Hebrews 11 talks a lot about these folks that had nothing else. In Hebrews 11:13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, let's just camp there for just a second. They just kept going. Never saw the promises that God told them they were going to get. So where was their faith? Where was their security? Where was their peace? Where was their joy? Had to have been in eternity, because they didn't get to see it here on earth. I don't know about you, but that keeps me going a lot of times. Because as Christians, if we're living like Christ wants us to live, everything that we're doing should be focused on eternity. I don't know how many of you were here last time I got to speak and I did the rope thing and I talked about in between there are many things that happen, remember? Between you buy boats, you buy houses, you go to school, you do all these things. But all those things are really will change what happens in eternity. And that's our hope. So let's continue. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embracing them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Do you think of yourself as a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth? Because I tell you, that's where your peace is going to come from. That is where you're going to get this positive attitude. Because you can go through anything then and go, yeah, I know it's coming. Somebody wisely once said, when Satan tries to remind you where you've been, just remind him of where he's going. Amen. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Do you desire a heavenly country? It's going to affect if you're positive or negative. See, if you're waiting for a heavenly country, if everything that you're doing is concentrating on what does God want for my life here and how is it going to affect forever, and then very little can really affect you. Because you can always just look at it and go, well, you know, get a reward. I mean, if somebody does something wrong to you and you don't deserve it, there's a reward for that. If you do something good for the Lord, he gave you all the power to do it, gave you the will to do it, gave you the ability to do it, you still get a reward. That's a win-win-win. We win. That causes being positive. It helps to bring that to mind. And the Bible tells us to remind each other of that constantly. Hey, you know where you're going? I'll tell you one thing it'll do for your classmates. It'll either pick them up, or if they're not saved, it'll show them they're not saved, and maybe they'll get saved. Remind each other constantly. Hey, you know what? What's this going to mean in eternity for you? If they're not saved, they'll start thinking, uh-oh, right? But if they're saved, it'll pick them up, being positive. It says he was not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It's not that things don't happen in my life. You know, I've had bad things happen all my life, as we all have. It's where's your focus when it comes to being positive? Where is your focus? Because if it's on your situation, I understand that it's hard to be positive in some situations. There are people sitting in this room probably that have lost parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, loved ones. It's hard to be positive during those times. Having a hard time, just as we were singing today, we're talking about how all of us go through hard times. If you're in the middle of that and that's your concentration, it's hard to be positive, isn't it? But when you know you have Christ, the Holy Spirit indwelling within you, and you know you're going to be somewhere else for all of eternity, it can change your attitude. My mom put it this way. My mom had Alzheimer's. And thank the Lord she didn't suffer for very long. Just to kind of tell you where I get my sense of humor from, I would go out towards the later stages, and my mom would look at me and go, "Who are you?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm Steve, Mom. I'm your son." She'd go, "I know, I'm just joking." Funny, Mom. But she told a story, sat us kids down when she got diagnosed, and she said, "Now, listen, I'm going to die pretty soon. And I know your tendency is going to be sad, but you know where I'm going." And she said, I know where you're going. I know we'll be together again someday. So I want to tell you a story." This is my mom. She said, "I want to tell you a story about what I think death is like." She said, "When you were about 5 years old, you came running out to the car. We were getting in. And I was getting in one side, and I didn't know you had come around. And I slammed the door. And I looked out of the corner of my eye, and there was your face in the window outside. And I looked a little bit further back, and there was your thumb on the inside. And I had shut your hand completely in that car door. And just for a minute, you just looked at me, surprised, like, 'Why would you do this to me?' And she said, just a couple seconds later, like a cartoon, I went, 'Ah!' Now look at everybody laughing. And when my mom was telling me that story, I was busting a gut, man. I was laughing so hard. She said, 'Son, that's what death is. It's just like that. Someday in the future, you know, we're going to have people sitting around, and they're going to be telling death stories, I think.' That's what my mom said. She said, 'Well, we sit here.' She said, 'All right, Jim, tell us how you died again.' 'I was behind a log truck, you know.' I said, 'Oh, okay, how'd you die?' 'Hey, man, I was hiding in this refrigerator on the third floor. Somebody pushed it out. You know, I mean, they're just going to be, and we're going to laugh. We're going to go, man, that's a bad way to go, right? For the Christian, that's what it's like. How can you not be positive with stories like that, right? We got it. We win. We read the book, right? If you read the book, we win. Isn't that cool? Being in the military, once again, I just find it really cool that we're at war and we get to participate in this war and we already know we win. That's pretty cool. There's a song by Petra that has a line in it that I turn to often. I'm almost done here. It says, "Sometimes a shadow, dark and cold, lays like a mist across the road. But be encouraged by the sight. Where there's a shadow, there's a light." Isn't that good? I mean, that means if there's a shadow that's come across your life, that means behind that shadow somewhere is God's light. He's in control. He controls the shadow too. He controls it all. He's got us. He's got us covered. Now, this is up to you. It's a choice. You're going to let things rule you, or you're going to rule them. Now, if you're here today and you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've been born again, then you just need a reminder from time to time. Amen? You just need to be reminded, hey, you know what? God's got this. You know where you're going. It's going to be okay. Keep working for His glory. But there may be some of you here today that have not been born again. You've never come to a place in your life where you recognize through the prompting of the Holy Spirit that you're a sinner separated from God. Now, I'm not talking about what church are you in, or have you been baptized, or have you spoken tongues, or any of those things that a lot of denominations will try to say have to do with salvation. There's only one thing. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God will raise him, had raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So all I can do is repeat to you what the Bible says. So if you're here today with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please, I just want to offer you an opportunity to change not only the rest of this semester, not only the rest of your life, but the rest of your eternity. You can begin that now. That's how it works, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit convicts you. You understand, yep, I'm separated from God. Maybe you've been playing a game. Maybe you've been raised in church and you know how to say all the right things. Maybe you're like three of my five sons and you prayed a little prayer when you were little, but then later in your life you realized, you know what, all I did is pray a prayer. Nothing happened. My life has not been changed at all. The Holy Spirit's revealing to you at this time. Probably you got a knot in your stomach right now. You're thinking, man, what's going on? Very well, you need to check it out. Say, Holy Spirit, am I saved? It may be you. Today may be the opportunity for you to be positive in your salvation. And you come to the Lord, you say, Lord, I want you to save me. The Bible says, I'm just going to repeat it. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Many of you, maybe most of you, there's a good chance that all of you have done that, but there's a very good chance statistically that at least 8 to 10 people in this room, statistics will tell us, are not born again. So I want to give you this opportunity. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to pray with me. And after that prayer, I'm going to ask you to come up here and stand with me. So if you've never done that, if the Holy Spirit is showing you today that you need Christ as your Savior, you need to be born again, you want this change in your life that focuses on eternity and not tomorrow, and you understand you're a sinner separated from God, just pray with me this prayer. Father God, just pray it to yourself. Father God, I'm a sinner. I'm separated from you. I believe that Jesus came and died on a cross and rose again 3 days later, and that paid for my sin, and I want that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've done that, I want to give you this opportunity to just come up here and publicly announce that to people. So you just get up out of your seat. If that's happened for you, you come up here and stand with me. I promise, if you've done that today, the people that have already done that are going to be so pleased. They're going to be so happy to see you joining the family. I'll just tarry a couple minutes, just a little bit, not even a couple minutes, just a little bit. This is your chance to say, you know what, I've never done that. The Holy Spirit doesn't promise us tomorrow. He doesn't promise us leaving this room. But he promises that right now, if you call out to Christ and say, save me, you'll be saved. Anybody. All right, now let me have a prayer. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Let me have a prayer for those of you. I'm just going to assume that means everybody here is saved. I wanted to let you know before I pray for the saved folks that if you're here and you're not saved, coming up here is not what saves you. Christ saves you. A little prayer doesn't save you. None of your actions save you. It's your heart before a holy God crying out to Christ saying, save me, that saves you. You can do that at any time, but I would encourage you to go and tell somebody right away. Now, those of you that are here, you've been born again. You know you're secure. You know your future. And maybe you've forgotten. Maybe you're just, well, school's starting. It's been hectic getting money together, getting classes figured out. Where am I working? What am I doing? And you just lost focus. Your thumb is caught in the door of the car. I just want to pray for you to regain your focus. Father, help those that are sitting here understand that it's about you and it's about eternity. It's about your glory. Everything that they're doing, they can say, God is for us, so who can be against us? Renew their spirit. Give them peace. Give them that positive attitude that says, I'm a child of the living God, and it's him I serve. Nobody can be against me. I win. We win. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have to just do one more. Thank you very much, Pedro. I appreciate that. Everybody give Pedro a hand. I like that music in the background. I have one more thing to tell you. And I toyed with this idea for a little bit, but it's just I'm a happy guy, and I like to end on a happy note. So I'm going to tell you one more joke. Some of you have heard it. But it's about being positive in the worst kind of situations. There was a pirate. He'd go into battle, he'd say, "Bring me me red shirt." Every time he'd go into battle, "Bring me me red shirt." So one day one of his men said, "Why do you always do that, Captain? Why do you always yell, bring me my red shirt? He said, "Well, if I go into battle and I've got on my red shirt and I get wounded, nobody can see me bleed and my men won't lose heart. They won't know that I'm bleeding and they'll keep fighting to the end." Man, that's pretty cool, Captain. So one day the guy runs down. He says, Captain, you got to come up on deck. This is horrible. This is terrible. So the captain runs up on deck, ships as far as he can see, and he says, "Bring me me brown pants." Some of you will get that later. If you don't get it, come down to the calf. I'll try to explain it in delicate terms. We can be positive in the worst case scenarios, folks. We can laugh about whatever's going on. You know why? Because Christ has the victory. Amen? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Somebody, is that it?